item 14, that is the administrative update.
Alrighty, and it looks like Administrator Lappin jumped off just for a moment.
I am here.
There you are. Okay.
So Mike, I did text Steve Gierdetsky again. My guess is he's balancing a busy day as well. So you have my reports, which was submitted a couple weeks ago. Sort of standard updates on Granite Hills. They did have their survey. They are successfully Joint Commission certified. The Granite Hills capacity within a couple days of that went up 50% as planned. They are expanding their capacity. This week, they began accepting all levels of acuity referred from our emergency room, and they continue to expand. The intent is to have two 24-bed adult units and at least 10 beds for youth open by September 1st. The CEO there, Ms. Bergerson, has indicated she has a very high confidence in achieving those. She does have the physicians on deck to start in July to achieve that. And they continue to recruit staff, including a number of our folks. And I've been getting a little bit involved personally to help some of our folks make that transition. There was some challenges in that we have staff where our titles and our job descriptions don't exactly line up, so they weren't necessarily recognizing their opportunities, but we've been working through that. And in fact, there's at least one person we had a conversation with yesterday who's a great match for a open position. They just call it something else. So we've been working to make that transition, both to support our mission-aligned staff, but also recognizing that it's very difficult to fill positions these days. And so we want to do everything we can to help Granite Hills be successful and get up to their final goal of 120 beds. The Mental Health Emergency Center will open September 6th. They're continue to add staff and complete contracts with physicians. They have a number of our staff already have signed agreements, I'm told, and will be transitioning there as they are able. We are beginning the conversation with law enforcement next week. Administrator Kleesner and I will be attending the MCLEA meeting, which is the police chief's meeting that happens every month. And we'll begin the conversation working towards a September 9th date where all patients under emergency detention and law enforcement custody will stop coming to PCS and will start going to the New Mental Health Emergency Center. We have a very substantial communication plan in place where we will send staff to every shift change meeting with every district in Milwaukee. And we'll work with at least one communications person, public information officer from each department, to make sure that everybody knows that on that date, September 9th, the PCS facility will be closed. We also have put up, we have requisition signs, which will go up July 1st in our facility at all the entrances and at PCS, informing folks of the impending change. We're handling it sort of like you handle a major freeway closure. Just as an analogy, we put up a very large sign because we want to make sure people start to understand the timeline here. The facility has its occupancy permit. Kevin Kleesner and his team are there, and we've been meeting weekly, a team that has included myself, Dr. Schneider, and the chief nursing officer, Linda Oshis, to get through managing all sorts of different types of patient scenarios. And then we've also included Lauren Hubbard from our Community Crisis Division and others, just to start to make sure we have a plan in place to manage the different target populations and the different patient care scenarios, particularly those related to the county department. Dr. Schneider has created a training guide for doctors who will act as our designees for treatment directors, and just a shout out to him, he managed to pull together something that'll probably be about a two-hour course that can be done through the electronic platform, and the current medical director of the Mental Health Emergency Center is on board with that and agrees that it's all really helpful information. So we are well on our way, and we still have a couple months, obviously, but the staffing and the policy, procedure, protocol all look really, really good and are very far along. And everybody's confident that we are on track for our final closure here September 15th. We also, and you did get a copy of this, if you haven't checked your emails, we did send out the message we've discussed for a while with staff just to basically make that clear that September 15th is the anticipated closure date and really fill in all along the timelines of how we plan to move forward. The final item I wanted to make the board aware that as we move towards the closure, there are quite a large number of historical artifacts, documents, records, and so I am working through the county AMOP on basically our the historical society is the record custodian for Milwaukee County. And so we are beginning the process of transferring those records so they might be preserved forever. And so I submitted the form. We've attached it for your reference. It has a description of those items. We're actually trying to make those transfers starting immediately. I have a very large collection of items. We will retain some artifacts with the intent of when we get to our new space for the division, creating some sort of celebratory display to just celebrate the history. I would work with the archivist to make sure it's done in a way that preserves the materials. But we have a rich history. You know, the hospitals go back 142 years, but the services on the grounds go back even further, really into the 1850s. And we have items that that document that history pretty well. And the Historical Society is eager to create a collection that has as many remaining artifacts from the county grounds and all of the institutions that have functioned here over the last 142 years. So just wanted to make you aware that is happening. If people have questions or concerns, please let me know. We also will be featuring some of these items and in some social media posts over the next few weeks, and we'll be sharing in our websites. And there will be a significant effort to celebrate the history through some videos that we actually prepared some time ago, but everything got kind of suspended by the pandemic. If you recall, starting in October of 2019, we had done essentially a museum at the BHS hospital where we collected all of our artifacts and then had a number of others bring their collections. We did walking tours of the grounds. We really had hoped to celebrate the history of the behavioral health services in Milwaukee County throughout the period leading up to the closure. The pandemic really kind of messed with our plans. So unfortunately, that didn't happen as planned. But we want to make sure that celebration of history happens, that we really keep it into the public eye, really the tremendous history of what has been done here and the meaning of where we are headed. And the really tectonic shift in patient care away from an institution and into this community-based system of care and a system of care that's, you know, much more preventative and really aligns with the county's mission to be the healthiest county in Wisconsin. So you'll be seeing some of those things. We'll loop you in. But I felt we wanted to make sure you were aware that these donations were being made. And when the building finally closes, there is an enormous trove of photographs and items that we will be donating to the Historical Society because all those things should be preserved. So any concerns or questions, I'm happy to answer. That ends my prepared administrative update.
Thank you, Mike. Dr. Stevens?
Hi, yeah, Administrator Lappin. I want to follow up on some of your update. I don't know if you would know this in such a fine-grained sense, but do you happen to know if the psychiatrists or the providers at the Mental Health Emergency Center that's going to be opening, if they have experience with emergency psychiatry? I mean, you mentioned that Dr. Schneider has like a training. I was just curious because it can be kind of really acute care, obviously, in that setting. I just want to make sure that everybody is well prepared and is going to be successful in their new position. Do they have that sort of experience? Do you have
that's a fantastic question. I'm glad you asked. So the the initial slate of FTEs, as I understand it, include anticipated full-time staff, include people with experience. Some have more significant experience than others. And then there are a number of individuals who currently work at PCS who have agreed, and through various sources. So they're working with the medical college staff. They're working with some of the folks at Moonlight and do hourly. So there will certainly be people who currently work for us who will be involved. And then there are some new folks who do have that experience. Our training is really specific to the county department and treatment director supplements to make sure that they understand how things like letters of authority and commitment.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
So that is really where Dr. Schneider is leaning. And I see he has his hands up. Perhaps he can help me as he's been closer to that orientation of the physicians than I.
Yes, Dr. Schneider.
First, I'd like to say there is no subspecialty certification in emergency psychiatry, so there isn't a way to say people are, in fact, board eligible, board certified. They are using a threshold of having experience of having practiced in a like setting in other locations, even when they're looking at locums candidates, so that people have either some ER, emergency center, detention facility experience, so they're familiar with the acuity and the workflows.
Thank you, Dr. Schneider.
Thank you. Mike, if I could ask one more question.
Of course.
I don't even. When you mentioned the transition in terms of like the hospital and going to the Historical Society, that sounds really interesting. I was curious, on a very practical level, are the records of patients in Avatar going to be available to the new providers at the Mental Health Emergency Center? In the sense that, are they going to have any sense of history of these patients, or are they going to just meet them fresh?
That's a good question. So I'm trying to measure my answer here. So they will be operating on a different electronic health record. So they will not have direct access to our electronic health record avatar, but they will be participants with Wishin. And so they will have similar access to the access our physicians have had to information about people's previous contacts with hospitals, emergency rooms, and services. And we are working closely to create an interface between the Mental Health Emergency Center and the BHS Record of the Future. And we will be creating enrollments for clients. Again, this is a space where I think Dr. Schneider is my expert. So if he could help me out here, I'd appreciate it, Madam Chair.
Sure. For additional context, Dr. Schneider, and then I see that board member Ledso has his hand up as well.
From a county department standpoint, we will be getting records of all of the care provided there, so that from the county department standpoint, we will continue to have a county department copy of the MHEC visit. We're beginning on working on that for all of the places that patients get transferred to, so that every location a patient gets transferred to, not just UHS, that when the care under a commitment is completed, we get all of those copies. So that from a commitment oversight standpoint and from a crisis continuum standpoint, we can look at a continuous record of crisis care regardless of where they go in the system, which is an improvement compared to the current state, which is primarily BHD focused. There will be the capability, if there is a particularly complex case that they need to consult us in the moment too, we're working on how that would work so that they could get things we may only have in our record. If I think back to the old days before we had Avatar, we used to have what was called the PCS record. And I know Dr. Lehrman's, I don't want to say this way, but I don't know how else to say it. He and I are old enough to remember it, and you might not be, is that there was a PCS record that was 2 years of PCS visits that was kept in PCS, so they didn't have to get the whole record up from the central records. At some point, MHEC will have enough of a volume of PCS visits for those sorts of things, that our record becomes useless anyways. And the challenge is, what do we do to have good communication and coordination in our room?
Thank you for that additional context, Dr. Schneider. Board Member Lutzo.
Yeah, I mean, all of this is interesting, connectivity and bi-directional linkage with across provider systems is extremely important, and it's going to become even more important in the future. But I was just wondering, in addition to that, which is more important, what's happening to all the equipment that's going to be left behind, the beds, the desks, how many chairs, God knows, what's happening with all that?
Well, that's a fantastic question. So I've been working with the facilities departments. We have a really unbelievable and breathtaking range of things here, stuff. And so we've already started to work with other county departments who may be able to use some things that probably don't have enormous financial value but are usable and in great condition. We do have some things that are in great shape and that will be sold. We're working with the county facilities folks because there are policies and procedures in place. After the historic items are sort of taken care of, the idea will be to eventually probably hire somebody who specializes in liquidating the items that we don't have use for. But we do have some items that will go on and be used in our community-based clinics. So, for instance, every one of our clinics could probably take one of the mobile DynaMap blood pressure machines that we have that go around the units. And there are certainly things we're going to make sure we utilize. But we've already started to, because of the shortage of IT supplies, we've already started to reallocate things like Wi-Fi connections and hotspots and junctions that are no longer required as part of our closed parts of the facility, but they can help us at our community-based clinics and elsewhere in the county. So we're trying to be very frugal here, and we want to make sure we're not wasteful, but the sheer scope of the volume of the things that need to be disposed of is really overwhelming and probably will take a very long time for us to complete that project.
Very good. Mary.
I can't figure out how to raise my hand. So, Mike, is all the new upgrades in the building going to be liquidated?
Well, that's a great question. I think we've always hoped that we could sell things off. So, for instance, I'm trying to give great examples, and I didn't ask Steve Delgado to join me, that he's the master of this stuff, but for instance, there's a very large generator that is emergency power required for a hospital. That item is worth something in the realm of $500,000 and is relatively new. That was a requirement of the CMS rule. So, you know, right there is a very substantial infrastructure item that could be sold. We do have some items from the SIA renovations that are still in the box. Those we will be able to sell. In fact, those are actually in pretty significant demand. As far as removing fixtures from walls and the like, I think we would have to find the right arrangement. So, for instance, we've been putting it out there as people are building CBRFs. I reached out to the state as they're renovating the state hospitals to say we would have some very lightly used ligature-proof toilets, sinks, and fixtures that we'd be happy to sell at a discount. And so we're going to do our best to get as much of the value out of those things because of, you know, and that we would, of course, use those to offset future costs, infrastructure costs. So that is the plan. An example, we were able to use the surplus flooring that we didn't use in the units that we didn't complete because of as this SIA timeline slipped. We ended up using that flooring in the new youth clinic, the Milwaukee Mental Health Clinic on 19th and North. So it has an absolutely spectacular brand new floor that we utilize that surplus effectively, and it looks great. So we're going to do everything we can like that to be. We're not going to be wasteful. We want to be great stewards of taxpayer money and resources, and so we're going to do everything we can to make sure we get all the value we can out of those things.
Thank you, Mike.
As a board member, it would be really nice to see the SIA improvements that we made before they're ripped apart.
Well, if you'd like, Mary, anytime, I'm happy to give you a tour. So come on in anytime. We've been trying to limit access to the units because of COVID-19, but I'm sure we can figure out a way that you can see it.
I'd like to see that too, for sure.
And I had one last question. I had read the article that the healthcare partnership had published on May 9th that you had sent out as information. And I have a question. Do you legitimately think that the mental health emergency center is going to be large enough to serve the community based on the healthcare partnership assessment of the black and brown community not receiving services and being underserved?
I do. I think the mental health emergency center is just part of the response. And to be successful, we really need to maximize the community health center partnerships that we'll have in essentially four corners of the community, the clinic on 19th, our mobile services, and our partnerships with so many providers really are the key, that the mental health emergency center serves a very significant role, but it's a small role in that it's really serving people who are in that life or death mental health emergency. If they come in with a need that doesn't rise to that level, we're still gonna serve them. We're gonna make a connection that we hope means they don't have to come back five or six times because they have access to those services at 16th Street Community Health Center at Access Clinic South, or at Outreach Community Health Center at Access at Clinic North, or at MHSI, or any one of the other services. And so the totality of the approach is that those resources will limit eventually the numbers. There probably will be a large number of people that come there initially, but over time we hope that people will embrace the system of care and get the help more appropriate for them. Really, that the whole idea is the philosophy we've embraced throughout DHHS, really that right care, right time, right place. So I am confident that we will get there. I do think there will be some transitional challenges, though. I mean, it's impossible to start something this new without, you know, it's going to take some time. We'll probably, you know, every week have to make some sort of operational change to accommodate patient flow, time of day, that sort of thing. But I am confident we will be successful. There's a lot of thought and planning has gone into this, and many partnerships have evolved.
Does that help, Mary?
Excuse me? Mm-hmm. Ma'am,
that, helps. That sounds, that answers the question adequately.
No.
Well, I will say this. I know that inherent in any transition, there are going to be challenges. What popped into my mind was just the importance of communication and truly being, I don't know how else to say it, but holding the patients, right? Holding them and making sure that there's really intentional effort in getting them where they need to go. And you know, they're sort of walking through this with us, alongside us, but we are the leaders, and we need to make sure that feels as seamless as possible to them. Yes. But yeah, thank you for your question and your great care in your answer, Mike. Shirley has had her hand up, so I want to hear what Shirley has to say.
Yeah, just a quick, mine goes back to the liquidating of furniture and equipment, Mike, at the hospital. You did mention maybe offering some of that to the community-based clinics, but I'm wondering, would there be a conflict of interest in offering some of it to some of our smaller vendor-based?
No, I don't think there's a conflict. There is a very detailed county policy as to how these things can be done. Okay. And I think it comes down to there has to be a transparent opportunity for bidding and price setting. But that is a conversation we've had, that we would want to make sure that we're using those items as effectively, really, to, you know, sure, in our system of care.
Sure.
So certainly a partner agency, we would be happy to make those arrangements. And I think we would, I think there's some allowance for us to have a plan that reflects, like, these are resources that are continuing to go with our clients. So for instance, we have an enormous trove of musical instruments and items that have been used for years as part of our music therapy program.
Sure.
We are working with Granite Hills because, and this will be an item for a later meeting, but I would very much like to donate or transfer those items because they're going to hire one of our music therapists and they're going to have a music therapy program.
Mm-hmm.
in my mind, we're not transferring those items to Granite Hills. We're transferring those items so that they're available to our patients at Granite Hills.
Sure.
We will have that milieu and those items. It's probably far more than anyone wants. We have a gigantic trove, you know, dating back to when this was a 1,300 bed facility. But those are examples of how we want to make sure that whenever possible, those items are available to the people we serve first. And if that's done through agents and partners, that's fine with me. We just have to make sure it conforms to the regulations around disposing of county property.
Okay. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mike. Are there any other questions from board members?
Madam Chair, board members, I did want to let you know that for the August meeting, both Granite Hills and the Mental Health Emergency Center will come in and do presentations. That will be at the August meeting.
We will look forward to that. Thank you, Jody. And thank you, Mike, for a hearty discussion and administrative update. I do see that Joe Lamers is on the call.